When the division, where was that supposed to be? Division here? What does it mean?
It just means that's a sign.
No, no, yeah, I know, but the third column says division.
Oh, you would say summit.
Oh, summit. I just wrote men's.
Well, very young adults or women's or men's or whatever your Sunday school class falls.
Were you a class for you? Class? Is that anything? Summit? I see in the code like every 2 weeks. Sorry. We have the same grocery store. I like see in the church. Or like, yes. Everyone knows kind of us, except like, I always see in the code.
Where did you go if you didn't go to A&M?
To Baylor. Anyways. Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, I want to be sure. I'm sorry. Actually, if it's too long, I might skip one.
Okay. It's up to you. Or give it, just say it a little bit shorter.
Yeah, okay, cool. All right, we're going to get started with prayer. I'll have to jump right in talking. So it's very true to help me out. So just bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night, just for the privilege of gathering together and just to building each other up. And we just thank you that the church is entrusted and just us to challenge us to grow and to grow in our relationship with you and to just build each other up. And we pray that we're just faithful and listening to your Holy Spirit and the direction in our lives and we're faithful to read your word and to speak your word to others and encourage each other with your words, Lord. Pray for this night and just give us a blessing and just your wisdom. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So, my name is Colin McLeod. I've been a member here at First for about 5 years, and I've been helping out the Summit Singles Ministry and the Men's Grow Ministry. We kind of partner to train a lot of the Summit leaders as far as grow groups and the grow ministry of your whole class and LBS. And so tonight we're kind of taking some of that training, but we're making it for all the life Bible studies, not just Summit, but any life Bible study is going to have a grow portion to it. And so we're going to kind of talk through that. And this one is more for the grow leaders of those individual classes. So, Sherry, you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Sherry Brown, and I work with the women in Summit. But the subject matter of this class does not just pertain to Summit. It pertains to everyone who's over a group of small groups in their LBS. And that's what we're going to be talking about, is how to lead the leaders of those small groups.
We want to give you all some, I guess there's some church trends that I've been hearing about and reading about lately, and just kind of about, not even just a lot of it, they tend to focus on the millennials, but it's really just the church as a whole. As we have smartphones, and they talk about our houses getting bigger and being more spread out from each other, the this is a study where the number of friends you call in a crisis has gone down. And each person doesn't have as many friends they call in crisis, and that's kind of dropped since 1950, turned it downwards as to where we are now, and kind of as we're going forward. And you'll probably see it in our church. You know, we have these classes, and you may have a big Bible study class, and where you have people in it that are in class and present there, but are they connected to people? Do they have someone in that class they could count on? And as a grow leader, you are kind of responsible for spiritual development of your class. You know, how is our class you know, growing and growing together, but also, you know, how are we growing together as friends and becoming closer to each other, and do people have other people in this class that they can bond to? Because that's kind of really what makes your class strong. And, I mean, teachers are great, and you know, the church, the Sunday morning message is going to be great, but really we want to build really strong connections in our life Bible study classes, and that's going to be really the responsibility of the grow leaders, and kind of how effective you guys can be may influence, you know, how effective your class can be at really growing together and being like a positive influence in each other. And so we talk about grow as kind of a part of the Life Bible Study mission. So Life Bible Study mission is in your the handout they gave you tonight, the one that we gave you, the whole booklet. So this Life Bible Study ministry is the church organized and dedicated to gathering lost and unchurched people while growing believers through life-changing Bible study to become Great Commission Christians, reflecting His love by giving ministry to others, lived out personally and corporately. And so grow is a part of that, give is a part of that, gather is a part of that. Those are the kind of branches that our church has decided, or not, picked to focus on. And that's how we kind of group our activities, but really, in the mission statement, they're all woven together. And so why smaller groups? So you notice the church, we've got our big church, our Life Bible studies, and then our grow groups. And so as the grow leaders, you're kind of wanting to take your Life Bible study and say, okay, these people, you see each other Sunday, but how can I get everyone in here involved in community that allows them to be transparent with others and to go with others and to grow deeper with others? And this is not from, we didn't think of this ourselves, this is biblical. Jesus had his 12 disciples, and then you know, those that were closer to him, you know, two or three. And so so why we do the smaller groups? To grow spiritually, deepen relationships within your Life Bible study, and then to give vision to reaching the world. And so kind of we shrink things down into Life Bible study and small, deep relationships, so that then you can go back out and kind of back up the ladder to be ministered in your Life Bible study, in your church, and in the world. And so that's kind of what our vision is, and kind of the vision we hope you guys have as grow leaders.
Okay, so these are some things I want you to think about. How many of you have been involved in a small group at some point in the past? And what was the best part about it for you? What did you like best? Yes, sir.
Yeah, the prayer, like the praying for everybody.
Mm-hmm. That creates a bond, doesn't it?
The intimacy.
Huh?
The intimacy that you build up that leads to accountability.
Yeah, that's a great benefit as well. Anyone else?
Being vulnerable.
Being vulnerable?
I mean, being honest to them about what's in my life and them what's in their life also.
So what didn't go well? Anybody have a problem that didn't go well?
When all the people wouldn't show up for a small group.
Yeah, so it takes commitment, doesn't it, to have a good small group. Anything else? Yes, sir.
Like sticking with the topic, like things that just ramble on and go off topic and stuff a lot.
Okay. Anyone else?
The formulation of some of the groups didn't go as well as...
Sometimes personalities don't mesh. Some small groups, like, you don't ever want to lose these people, and others,
yeah,
it's like you can never quite connect.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Anything else? Did anyone experience a benefit? Like, not just that you enjoyed the intimacy or the transparency or whatever, but like it transformed you in some way? Yes, sir.
For me, I went through a dark time in my life, and a small group of guys, it was one of those kind of like a little bit of an intervention moment, and that it was, I had built enough of a respect for them that I would listen to them at that moment, and God just totally used those guys. They'd all been praying about it. They'd all felt called to just, it was a situation in my life God's brought me from, but it was just amazing to see when you're vulnerable enough, they know your life well enough, and then they can just, I mean, that doesn't always go well, that might not be well received, but God had been softening my heart in that area, and the small group was God's just hand at work.
That's so awesome. Great testimony. Thank you for sharing. So, are any of you, it may be too early in the semester, I don't know how long you've been doing this job, but are any of you seeing results of the small groups in your LBS class already? Is it too early to tell? I don't know. If you didn't do this in the fall, yes.
So we have, we're in the Married Young Adults, so we had established a kind of a, you know, there's both husband and wife that show up, and we had opened one small group, everything else is closed, and one small group is just kind of like a midweek Bible study. The intimacy that had been formed has now doubled the amount of people in that one group, and it's been going on for like 3 months.
Oh, yay.
And then now we're having, we're in charge of it, now we're having to properly kind of mold that group into two groups, and then allow them to continue it on. So it's just been wonderful to see that God had his hand on it, wasn't us, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And splitting, yeah, splitting a group is sometimes the hardest thing to do, but sometimes it's really good for your class. And yeah, I went through the same thing a couple like months ago. It was tough. But
it is.
But yeah, but it's really good.
Yeah, I've experienced in the past too, and it's wonderful, the results of it, for sure.
What would you say are the goal? If you had to think about goals for the small groups in your LBS, what would be some of the things that would be your goals for those people to accomplish in those small groups?
Accountability.
Accountability.
Intimacy.
Intimacy.
Get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Sense of community.
A sense of community.
To build each other up.
Yes.
To better the norm.
Mm-hmm. Help you take your next step in your faith walk.
Trying. I mean, it's building relationships, but it's, in our case, I guess it's building, trying to build a long-lasting relationships.
Yeah, relationships that go beyond the grow group.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of want to mimic what the church is supposed to be, mimic the lifestyle that Jesus causes us to be. I mean, there's a reason why he says we spur each other on, we share each other's burdens. So I think grow groups are, I guess in my experience, I was with the BSM at UNM Kingsville, and we call them spark groups. And the reason why we call them spark groups is iron sharpens iron. Usually when you do that, you have a spark. So it's really, it gets ugly at times, but that's where it really does build that camaraderie, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And where you encourage one another to do what Scripture would dictate in every situation. Yeah, that's great. Okay, so what is the purpose of a grow group? In Scripture, there's a lot of one another passages. In fact, love one another is used 9 times, and these are the references for it. for us to love one another. And, you know, when my children were small, I used to tell them, they used to say, oh, Mommy, I love you so much. And I would say, loving someone is the hardest thing you'll ever do. Because it has so many facets like a diamond. It's really hard to do. So then in Scripture, God gives us all these other one another passages. Live in harmony with one another. Don't provoke one another or envy one another. Forgive one another. For some people, that's really easy. For others, it's really hard. Submit to one another. That doesn't mean just wives submitting. That means all of us submitting. Forbear one another in love. Those kinds of one another's will unify us. And then there's caring one another's. Serve one another. Bear one another's burdens. That's kind of what we're talking about in here. Comfort one another. Wash one another's feet. How do you just serve each other? Receive one another. Don't judge one another. Greet one another. Salute one another. And then things that edify or build up others. Teach and admonish one another. If that's done with love, that's exactly what you're talking about, where people are speaking into your life and they're teaching you in love how to go from where you are today to where it seems God is taking you in a loving way where it's not so painful to go there. Edify one another, exhort one another, provoke one another to love and good works, prefer one another. You're going to build that love and bond in your group. You're going to prefer to be with one another and encourage one another.
And so this is kind of the grow group definition that we have. The grow group is a group of men or women who come together regularly in a grace-centered environment to pursue life transformation through a balance of transparent connection, prayer, Bible study, accountability, and service. And it's not a curriculum. We're not giving you guys steps or anything like that, but a way of relating to others. And so kind of, I think, a lot of what y'all voiced about was good in a group is echoed in this statement. And that's kind of, we wanted to give you this just in case there's, you know, to fill any holes and to show you what the complete group is. It's not just a Bible study. It's not just accountability. It's not just hanging out together, but you know, it's a group that we want to build up each other to be complete Christians. And so we have a kind of a statement for that to kind of help you guys out kind of when you're to think about your groups. Because a lot of times it's easy to box in what we think of a group is just from, you know, we've had groups in either college or high school throughout our ministry that we say, oh, that's where a group is. And sometimes just kind of in our own way we leave out something. And so we hope that kind of throughout tonight you can kind of get a complete picture of what a group is. And these are kind of the non-negotiables and grace-centered. So as a grow leader, you're kind of want to check in kind of with your grow group leaders. You can't be at every grow group with them, but kind of you want to be involved at least in some point. You know, say, you know, hey, how's your grow group doing? And ask like members in your class too. You know, hey, whose grow group are you in? You know, how's it going? And these are kind of some things you want to look for. Grace-centered. You know, if there's not grace in a grow group, you're gonna probably hear about it because it's gonna kind of probably fail spectacularly. Because that's the key of grow groups. If you're not having grace when you're hearing someone share something they haven't shared before, then we're gonna have a lot of problems. And so that's kind of the main thing. First characteristics you want to encourage in your grow leader is, hey, you make sure that whatever you know. Here stays in the group. It's part of that. Committed. This is important to the word, to the church, to the group. Committed to the word. We gave you guys there's a list of like approved Bible studies that was passed out.
It's pink.
And so those are the ones that the church has approved as far as they've looked over them and they're okay. And that's not the if you want to add one or do something outside of that, you just have to talk to like the pastor over. If you're married young adults, it's Brad Talbert. If you're in Summit, I think it's Don or Sherry, or Eric Reed for men's. Basically, we just want to make sure that what we're studying is biblical and you know, aligns with what the church as a whole believes. Just because you're entrusting you know, people's growth and spiritual growth, people in your class, and so. So there's a lot of stuff on that list already, but I mean, if you have something else that you want to study, you know, just email pastor over your area to church. So as a grow leader, you're encouraging grow groups and formation of smaller, more intimate relationships, but those should not distance that group from the class, but you know, your grow group should be your most involved people in the class, because when they come, they have strong relationships already, and they can serve others out of those relationships. And so if you have grow groups in your class that you see aren't kind of part of the class anymore, they're kind of off doing their own thing, that'd be something to make note of and to maybe talk to either your pastor or one of the leaders in your ministry about, as far as, hey, this grow group's kind of drifting off. Talk to the leader as well. I mean, you know, they may have you know, some explanation, but we want the grow groups to be involved in the life Bible studies. It's not an either or. It's if you're in a grow group, you're involved in the life Bible study. And you guys will have to kind of have eyes for that in your class, as far as you know, getting people involved in church activities. And confidential. You know, if you're, I guess it's kind of just one of the things to assess whenever you're going through grow groups with your leaders, is, you know, everything remains confidential. That should be, you know, stressed often with the leaders, and then progressively transparent. So that is something that you may not really have as a grow leader. You're not gonna really hear about the transparency of the groups as far as what's actually happening, but you can kind of. I think there's a. Let's see, where's the sheet? One of the sheets, the blue sheet, kind of talks about. So this is a grow group assessment. This is made for the grow leaders, and really what we want is like a good way to assess grow groups. And the reason I'm bringing this about transparency is a lot of groups aren't going to have a lot of transparency right away. You know, as groups form, it might take a while for friendships to bond. And so we have this, the top part here, just is kind of the grow group assessment. Like, all right, are the grow groups in my class? Are people attending grow groups regularly? If they are, great. If not, like, then you talk to your leaders about that. Okay, are they participating? You know, is everyone participating, or is it just kind of one or two people really getting into it? All right, are they connecting? And that's kind of where transparency is going to come in. So you're not going to be, you know, in the grow group. So, or you'll be in your grow group, but not in, you know, your whole class's grow group. So you're going to have to kind of trust your leaders and ask them. You know, once you kind of see their grow group's going, is good about hanging out together. Say, hey, like, how's, you know, your grow group going? Deeply, you know, people sharing, you know, maybe encourage them, you know, once they're done with their next, they're studying a book of the Bible, you know, hey, maybe after that, what do y'all think about doing a time for testimony? And just like take a couple weeks off, say, hey, y'all can do testimonies for a week and talk to people about how they've grown and kind of make sure that they're, I don't know, you can really kind of encourage your leaders to step away and kind of do some of this to build the transparency. And kind of essential elements, connection and discussion, prayer, Bible study and spiritual disciplines, accountability, and then service and mission. So as a grow leader, you're kind of big picture still in all your groups. And so you can kind of give your the grow groups themselves, like, we hope they have all these elements in there. you know, how they do prayer. Some groups are going to want to, you know, pray over each other and take, you know, 40 minutes on prayer and 20 minutes on scripture, and that's great. And some groups are going to, you know, spend an hour on scripture studying during the week, and then they're going to text each other prayers, and that's also good. So there's not really, we're not going to give you like a, you know, you have to spend 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there during a grow group. These are kind of the things that you want to see in a grow group. And a lot of times we can focus on the middle one and the top one, the connection and the Bible study, but kind of get lost with prayer. And so I'd encourage any groups to either just, you know, do like a prayer texts, or a lot of groups, and like some of my groups, sometimes we've taken just nights where instead of giving each other prayer requests, we just, you know, pray out loud over people for like an hour. And that's just kind of what that night's all about, is just praying over someone at the group. And so I think you can kind of encourage leaders to kind of find their own group, but also they kind of want to have these elements. And I'm going to talk about real quick about accountability. So vision-centric accountability, kind of sounds fancy words, but it's really just we're helping the people in your class kind of set their own biblical vision of what they want to be held accountable to. And so there's kind of accountability a lot of times is seen as, a lot of times for men especially, it's all about purity. And you say, okay, well, like, we're just going to hold each other accountable to purity, and that's kind of what it is. Well, there's a lot of times where some person may be struggling in his prayer life, and really that's where he wants to grow, is in his prayer life. And not that you can't also hold him accountable to purity, but if you establish with him, he's like, hey, like, where do you see yourself now, you know, as far as your walk, you know, your testimony, you know, where do you want to grow? You know, and he says prayer, and then you say, okay, like, you know, let's think of some practical ways to do that. You know, what if you prayed every day before you look at your phone? And you say, okay, he says, okay, you know, and then you hold him accountable to that instead of something that you've determined. So he's set his own, what he wants to be and what he wants to grow in, and you're holding him accountable to that. And so you're not, you know, sometimes, you know, you're not badgering him or nagging him about something that he may not, you know, have come around to see that he needs to grow in. He's kind of helping you, you know, keep him accountable already. So I think that's all we mean by vision-centric accountability. And I would encourage you to try that by visit the covenant is a real good way to do that. I think it's one of the handouts, the green handout is the covenant, and that can be kind of a way you say, hey, this is what we're gonna be as a grow group, how we're gonna grow. You know, we commit to this, and once you commit to that, you say, hey, you've committed to this, you know, can we work on that? I mean, still in a grace-centered way, you know, say it out of anger, but just kind of trying to help each other by planning forward and like establishing that path early on in the grow group. And so that's kind of what the grow groups hopefully should look like. And you can kind of, I don't know, encourage your leaders, I think, to do the plan ahead at the beginning.
The covenant really has a lot. The primary focus of the covenant is attendance.
Yeah.
Somebody mentioned that a while ago, is when you get in a group and somebody doesn't show up, and then next week somebody else doesn't show up, it's real hard to have that consistent relationships going on. So if you wait 2 months into the group to have everyone sign the covenant that they're committed to be there every week, then, you know, you've already set a precedent that you're lax. It's harder to go back and get people to commit. But if in the very beginning of your grow group you get everyone to commit to come every week, then they understand what the expectation is, that everyone is going to be at grow group every week and for a certain length of time. I mean, it designates a length of time. Like, you're not going to be there every week for the rest of your life. You're going to be there every week from now till May. And then you're going to reassess whether you want to stay together or you want to disband and join other groups. But it's really a way to get people to be committed to the group. And so it does talk about all these other aspects of the group, but the primary thing is to get some commitment to the group.
I think too, another way to get, I would encourage y'all to, this is just kind of separate, but kind of ties in, to share testimonies in class too. I don't really know how each of the Life Bible studies is structured, but I know that our class is like done testimonies kind of every, typically every Sunday. We have someone who's in charge of testimony and just like a 5-minute testimony. And a lot of them have been, you know, hey, I was, you know, it's not so much about how I became a Christian, but, you know, this is how I'm growing in the past couple of years. And a lot of it has a lot of grow group type, you know, accountability, and I say, oh, you know, I've been in accountability for the past couple of years, and it's been really great because of this. And I think that has really, I know it's really helped our class. And I think kind of if you have a class that, if you're kind of struggling to get people really excited about grow groups and accountability, I think testimonies can be a really big way. Maybe it's, you know, you share your testimony, and I don't know, you know, how much specifics you want to share, but just like, you know, if you can get people to share about grow groups and just how they've been growing in the past year in front of your class, I think that can be a huge fire to people who are sitting in there and aren't either convinced they need to be in one or just kind of lax about accountability, or I don't know. I think that's kind of really helped our class. And so, skip this. So the double door to accountability. So this is mostly for group leaders, and that we want them to be transparent first and encouraging. You don't want someone to just share everything about what's going on with them, but not hold others accountable. And so as a leader, like the grow leader should be sharing about their lives, but also looking into others' lives and saying, hey, I'm seeing this in your life, providing feedback. And that should be, if that's an every member thing, that's going to really help your grow groups. So I think as a leader, when you're talking to your grow group leaders, I think listen for kind of, a lot of times the way this issue comes up is there's someone who shares something over and over again each week and is kind of only sharing about their problems and not and help, kind of helping the other, with the rest of the group. And so a lot of times, you know, accountability time becomes about one person's problems. And so if you kind of hear that in your group, you can encourage them to, you know, hey, you know, is that person holding other people accountable? Or, you know, how does he or she, you know, feel that they bring, you know, value to the group? And and sometimes that can actually, there's a counseling center reference as well. We have lots of handouts for you guys. I don't know if y'all figured that out yet, but
the yellow
counseling center. So that can be another thing. Like if y'all hear of someone who's kind of only sharing about something and it's kind of not getting anywhere as far as you know, improving, or they don't seem to want to fix that part of their life, and maybe counseling can be, I guess, a way to go. Do you want to talk about the counseling, Sherry?
Well, if you have somebody in your group and they have a problem, we're not there to be their counselor. We're there to be their grow group. So if you can't answer what they're struggling with out of God's word, then you need to refer them to counseling. So it's pretty straightforward. If you can't answer it just by looking at someone's life in scripture, then send them to the counseling department, because grow groups are not intended to be counseling sessions.
It's not a failure on the part of the group.
No, not at all.
Counseling or on the grow leader, that's a good, a very good step.
Yeah, it's just an encouragement for them to get help beyond what we're capable of.
Yeah, that's something, because your group leader may come to you with a problem. problem.
Another thing that might be helpful is this page that's kind of bright orange. It talks about your position in Christ and what you've received as a result of being a Christian. So sometimes people are struggling, not maybe because maybe something's happened in their life that they can't get over because they don't realize all God has promised them. I mean, even to sometimes when we've got sin in our life, forgiving ourselves is so much harder than forgiving than God forgiving us or us forgiving someone else. And so sometimes this kind of information is very beneficial to somebody as well if they're struggling with a major problem.
You said I am statements, but they're also like you are statements. So these can be really good. I know that my wife works in or does some volunteering with the Redeemed Jail Ministry, and they, I think, use this same sheet. And some of the people, you know, who've been in the prison system or, you know, been in and out, you know, when they kind of hear these statements, it's something that they've never heard before, never thought of before, and it's kind of it can be a really powerful prayer. And it seems, some of these seem like really simple words, like, yeah, like, I'm a child of God, I've heard that like 100 times, I've sung it a lot, but sometimes just that prayer can be really powerful in someone's life. So, let's see.
Okay, desired outcomes. One of the things that grow groups should do is help people with their spiritual intelligence, their relational intelligence, and their obedience intelligence. So you're going to be, one of the goals is to help people develop in all three of those areas. Another thing that we're aiming for is personal growth. So helping them learn to have a quiet time every day, to spend time in prayer every day, helping them be more authentic and transparent, helping them to stay connected. Don't get in your grow group and then separate from the LBS or the church. You want to stay connected at every level. You still need to go to church, still need to go to LBS, because you're going to be growing from all those things. And then as a group, the group should be serving somewhere. Your give leader may have ideas of ways that your grow groups can serve. And then you should be helping people take their next step in their spiritual maturity so that their life is reflecting godly character, that they're growing to look more like Christ, they're more in love with Him, they long to be obedient, they're duplicating and discipling other people because they love the Lord so much. Another thing would be their servanthood. Not only are they serving, but they're cultivating someone in the group to take their place, to lead a group. So maybe after a year or two, that group would split. The first leader stays with one, like you're talking about. Then you're growing up another leader who can take over the second group. Then the grow groups will become outward focused. Maybe they do some evangelism. Maybe they go out and serve together. Whatever it may be, but they're learning to be other focused, where they're striving to bring other people in because of their love for the Lord. And then the fifth thing is multiplication, so that the world will know. So your behavior, what you're learning in Grow Group, is so real in your life that as you go out into your job, your community, wherever you go in life, people are seeing Christ in you and they're wanting what you have. So this is talking about grow leaders. That would be you guys, the people that are over all the small groups. What is your job? You're going to cast a vision and give direction. What's the purpose of the grow groups in your class? Where are they trying to go? What is the goal of the grow groups? Prayerfully assign the people to the group. You know, I've had classes where I had one grow leader who was so careful, prayed so much, asked just the right questions. One of the questions was, what is your zip code? So that the people in the group didn't, you know, we didn't have somebody in Clear Lake meeting with somebody from the Woodlands. You know, what day of the week works best for you to meet? What days can you meet? those kind of essential questions. And she prayed so much over what, who to put in what group. And when it came time to reformulate groups the next semester, she had absolutely no changes because it had worked so well. So prayer is a huge factor in all of this. Provide choices, that pink slip, we get piece of paper stapled together we gave you. Support and encourage your grow group leaders, the people that are over your small groups. Try to meet with them once a month. Talk to them at least once a month. Personally, one-on-one, a phone conversation, coffee, whatever, so that you can see how they're doing. They can't lead the group if their life is falling apart. Be an encourager to them, and then encourage them to be strong for their group. Make sure they're well-trained. As the grow leader of the class, it's your job to make sure that everyone leading a small group in your class has gone to a training. If they couldn't come tonight, Kyle and I are doing another training on Sunday at 12:30 to 2. Lunch will be provided. It's right after church. If anyone in your class didn't come to the training tonight, they need to come on Sunday. If they haven't been trained, they need to be trained. And then be sure that you're watching, as the leader in your class, you're watching on the HFBC website under men's ministry and women's ministry, what's going on, so that you can encourage your women or your men to be involved in whatever the men's ministry is doing or whatever the women's ministry is doing, whether that's men serve. Tuesday night is the beginning of the table for women. Some of your grow groups may want that to be what they study. They go to the table, they listen. Afterwards, they talk about it. Maybe they go to the porch. If you're in Summit, whatever's going on, your grow group may go do those things together. Some grow groups went to a celebration together. I know there's guest speakers coming in. I've heard, I can't remember right now who's coming, but there's guest speakers. I think Gary Thomas that wrote Sacred Search and Sacred Marriage is coming, I think, in May. So if you invite your whole grow group to go to that, so that those kind of things, service things, that's what builds that community.
Kind of as the grow leaders, like, work with your give, if y'all have give leaders in your class, which you should, and, mm-hmm. you know, work with them and say, hey, can you guys maybe help me out finding a service opportunity that's conducive to our grow groups, or, you know, there's kind of ways you can kind of work with your give leaders and you know, talk about that, as far as they, a lot of times, if, you know, if they have, they may have a an event that they can't schedule just because they have too much, you know, on the calendar already, but they may say, oh yeah, like, I've been talking to these people and it's too small for a class event, but you could send your grow group there. And so I'd encourage y'all to use kind of resources in your own class too. So this is kind of the grow group facilitator, so it's not, you know, for y'all necessarily, but kind of what this, I guess, what you're kind of holding your group of leaders to, you know, spiritual leadership, casting a vision, creating community, plan, administration, praying for the members, understand where their group is, and adapt to the leadership, set an example for your group, discipleship, raise up the next leader, update the grow leader on how the group is doing. So those last two are kind of really important for y'all to be aware of, because they should be kind of giving you guys feedback as far as how grow groups are going, or kind of what they're studying, or what's going on. And then also, you know, I would talk to them too, like, hey, like, how's it going, you know, with, like, who do you see in your group that could lead a group? Who do you want to raise up, you know, to be a leader? Like, have you thought about, you know, splitting off if your group gets too big? Like, it's like you said with his group that split off. Like, it's a lot easier if you have that, you know, have the. I think the best thing is to have the vision that every grow group is eventually going to split, and not like split in a bad way, but like that they're going to.
Reproduce,
yeah, and say, you know, hey, like, this guy's gotten, you know, to be, you know, spiritually mature where he can lead his own group, and, like, it would be selfish of me to keep him in my group, so we're going to split up, and And that's a really I think healthy class that can do that, because then, you know, when people come into your class, you know, there's a lot of classes that you come into a class and it's like there's these new people and they have no one to lead a grow group, because we haven't, you know, the previous grow groups didn't really let other people lead. And so talk to your leaders and just, you know, kind of help them at least think about this. I mean, it can be as simple as, you know, them letting someone plan the Bible study for 1 week, or just kind of getting them involved in leadership in some aspect. And then grow group members, so they must be a believer. So here's the reason for that. It could kind of be a hang up for some people. The grow groups, the idea is that we, you know, build each other up in Christ. And when we bring a non-believer in, typically what happens is it becomes all about the salvation of that person. And so it's not really what the grow groups are for. Like, we want a space for that person to be nurtured and to be, you know, witnessed to, and not just in, you know, like I would say, but in smaller group settings as well, and y'all can definitely please work through, you know, work with them and meet with them in smaller groups. But the grow groups themselves are designed for Christians and believers and for people to grow in their faith. And so they commitment to attend and invest in the group. And that's kind of the first thing on the blue sheet, attendance. That can be, and it sounds pretty easy, but a lot of times that is what kind of how groups fall apart. It's just, it starts out with one guy who just kind of stops coming, and then just kind of becomes not important to some of the people. And so I think one of the leaders told me, I guess that, like, he called his called one of his guys and was like, hey, he's like, we're ready tonight. And he's like, oh, we got too much to do tomorrow. And he's like, hey, like, you made a commitment to this group. Like, we need you here to build us up. It's not like, you know, you have to come because of some, you know, legalism reason. It's because, you know, we're building each other up together. And each person provides, you know, valuable input into the group. And so that's kind of the, I think, one of the best ways I've heard someone holding someone accountable for attendance is, you know, each person is valuable. And so just kind of encourage your group leaders, you know, as far as attendance goes, to keep people accountable to that. And then also, I think if you have people in your class, sometimes it's like you're just going to have someone in your class who's like, they're in a grow group, it's on Tuesday, but they, like, travel every week on Tuesdays. And so you might have to look and see, all right, like, do we have grow groups on the nights that meet the needs of our people? Like, do we have grow groups in the zip codes that meet the needs of our people? And so really, like, if you have an attendance issue, it seems to be more of a logistics thing. I would kind of be mindful of that and try to make your groups, you know, if you're gonna have groups on different nights, and, you know, make them work for people as best you can. It can be really hard in Houston because we're really spread out and people have lots of different occupations that keep them out for a week at a time. But I think that's just something that kind of we want the grow leaders to be mindful of. So come prepared, and that's, you know, encourage them to be prepared and to either use a study, you know, one of the studies that we approved, or if they're doing, you know, Book of the Bible, to you know, work through it and really kind of help them prepare. And you can give them resources if you know of any. And then members, stay involved with the LBS. I think we talked about that a little bit, but the group members, you should always be involved in LBS. Like you said, you know, you come to a group and you build each other up so you can go back into your LBS and your church and the world and serve that community and witness to others in those groups, because your visitors to your church are coming to your LBS. They're not coming straight to the grow groups typically. So, you know, you want your grow groups there to present, you know, a unified LBS that's it's growing together.
Your foundation, your first weeks or 2 weeks or month of your LBS class is key. One of the things I would encourage you to tell your small group leaders is that on the very first week, you should ask questions like, what would it take for this group to be safe where you could share anything with us? Confidentiality will come out, trust will come out, just knowing that it's a safe place. Whatever the people in that group feel like they need for it to be a safe place, that should be recorded somewhere so that you can remember what it is that people said they need to feel like they can share their heart within the group. Then as the leaders of those small groups, those people should share their story first and be as transparent as they're capable of being, although they're not going to tell everything that ever happened to them. Because you're going to have progressive transparency where they'll share more and more over time. But if they can be fairly transparent as they share their story initially, then that will encourage the other people in the group to be transparent because they see that it's a safe place to share. One of the key things that you can tell your small group leaders is that's very important is to learn to ask good questions. And that is talked about. The kind of questions you want to ask is talked about in this white document, and then there are examples in the purple document. And you want to ask questions that have to do with observation. What do you see in the text? What are the facts that are stated in the text? Then you want to ask questions that pertain to interpretation. What is the text saying? What is the author's intent by what he has written? And then you want to ask questions, finally, about how does this apply to my life? If I believe what this says, how am I going to live differently tomorrow as a result of learning this today? And those kinds of questions are never going to be questions that are either a yes-no question, and they're not going to be a leading question, where you ask a question for the purpose of your... It's very obvious from the question you're seeking a certain answer. When you ask a question, if you ask questions that say what, how, or why, then when people answer those, there's a multitude of correct answers for each person. There's not one right answer. Silence is huge. It's very beneficial in a group because what it means is that the people are thinking. They're not just blurting out the top thing that pops into their mind. They're thinking about what you've asked. And you can lead a whole group without ever really teaching much just by asking really, really good questions. So we've tried to give you some examples, and we've talked in this document about how to formulate those questions, and that should help not just you, but those people under you that are leading those grow groups. So if within the first 2 to 4 weeks, everyone in your group should have shared their story. You should have established kind of the ground rules for what is safe. And then everyone shares their story, and then you're on a roll. And from those stories, you're going to be able to tell and begin to talk with them about those list of approved studies. What thing can we study that will mutually benefit everyone in the group? Where are we going to go from here? And so you're going to want to think along those lines. And you may have one of your small group leaders that comes to you and says, you know, our group is struggling with whatever, X, and we can't find a study for that. And they may be asking you to help them find something that they can study that will promote an understanding of a certain topic that maybe several people in the group are dealing with. The groups may want to do a scripture memory program. Navigators has out a really good one. So you could do that. They could be working on that. There's several things that groups can do together. There's apps for your phone. I have an app on my phone called Verses that helps you memorize scripture. And it's got several different ways. I mean, it's not like just one thing that you do to memorize scripture. It's many different things. So your group may be doing that together as an app on your phone. And you can see, you're connected to other people, and you can see who's got what memorized. So there's lots and lots of things that you can do as a group. You can go out and do service projects. All those kind of things that if you can give your leaders tools that will help their groups to be successful.
I'd encourage your leaders to, if they come to you and say, I want to start a Bible study, we're going to study this, to maybe encourage them to, hey, say, hey, you know, hold off a couple of weeks, talk to your group, you know, do testimonies, see kind of where they want to grow. And if they still think that that's the study after that, you know, they can go for it. But, you know, encourage them to listen to the feedback of what their group says before they pick a study or kind of decide on, you know, how they want to lead their group. Because it might be, they might go, you know, a lot of times you go and just, into your group thinking one thing and come out, you know, go like, I don't think that's what we need to study. I think, you know, we need to study this, you know, based on, you know, what they're saying.
But, we're supposed to be done 2 minutes ago. We're almost done.
I think that's about resolution.
Yeah. I think we've covered
so
most of
yeah,
that.
Creative ideas for all groups. Kind of encourage them to meet outside of their scheduled Bible study, because that's kind of when a lot of times, you know, community is built. It's not just, you know, if they're just meeting and just hanging out once a week, it's not really going to help them build as much as they're, you know, meeting throughout the week.
Does anybody have any questions before you go?
Do we have access to these slides?
If you email me, I will send them to you.
Okay.
Yes. Access to what?
Slides.
This for the PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm. You can
get,
email me.
We didn't get emails on the sign-in sheet, did we? Did y'all put emails on there?
Yes.
Did everybody get
did everyone sign on
the sign-in
sheet?
Okay, we have a door prize to give away.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, how are we going to do this?
I like the birthday.
You like that?
No,
that was last
time. Oh, yeah.
I have no chance.
Sorry, that was selfish.
You have an idea? How can we do this? Does somebody have an idea?
Short.
No, that's not fair, because no man in the room would win.
I know. I was just saying that because I'm really short.
We can't do shortest.
The newest person to Houston's first.
That's a good idea. Who has joined Houston's First the most recently?
October?
I joined in January.
Oh,
like,
you
actually became a member or started coming?
Started coming.
Okay.
You don't feel anything, so
I know.
Did you start coming in October? Okay, you need to fill this out and leave it with me. Thank you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
For
yeah.
coming.
If y'all can sign in, and I'll email everyone the PowerPoint for that email address that you sign in with. So I'm gonna leave the sign-in sheet here with a pen.
With a
pen. With a pen. Yes.
Question
for you. Yeah. Like, I've been ready to go, and we don't really have a lot of training.
So I'm more like a skizzle.